This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWM, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's show will feature an update on the California Fire Hazard Security Zone system, which seemed to get us a number of calls a few weeks ago. And that'll be, we've done a lot of research on this, and hopefully we can clear up some misconceptions and give you some new information. Then the next topic is the folly of electric vehicles and how that's connected to what's killing whales on the East Coast. And another important question on this is who is profiting from all this. Next topic point is the woke wave receding? And one of the things that we'd really like you to call in on is we'd like to know if you have personally experienced a diversity, equity, and inclusion training seminar at work. Now, I got to experience a speaker at a conference, but I'd like to hear how that works out at the corporate level or if you're working in the government or something like that. It would be great to hear from one of you on that topic. And if we run out of topics and call-ins, one of the things we'd like to circle back on is government-run health care and how in many countries it's faltering around the world. So call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. All right, so the first thing we'd like to do here is a shout-out to the Cattlemen's Association. Now, Susan, didn't we have a couple of great guests last week?
We did. They were amazing. With what they know about the ranching business, I learned so much. It's so much more technical and involved than I ever imagined.
Right. And Seth Scribner and Anthony Stornetta were terrific. And as a result of that, Susan and I, and again, and also I want to call out Pete Clark. He's been a great helper, helped us put that show together. We got invited to the Cattlemen's Spring Meeting last Thursday. And that was another education. I sat through some of the educational things at the end of the day, part of the program. One of the things that I was really happy to see is that Cuesta College is starting a program for ranchers. I guess it's going to be like an associate degree in how to be a rancher and that type of thing. And there was so we're going to hopefully get that person on to talk about that on the show and explain what. The other thing was how much work Cal Poly really does in the whole agricultural area. And then it was a great dinner and meeting a whole bunch of terrific people. So, again, a shout-out to the Cattlemen's Association. The other thing I want to talk about briefly is the CoLab dinner on March 30th at the Madonna Expo Center. Supervisors John Pichong and Debbie Arnold are going to be featured speakers. This is an event Susan and I have gone to almost every year since we've been up here in the Central Coast. And it's really a fun event. And if you have a chance, it's on the 30th. It's at Madonna. If you need some information on this, you can go to the colabslow.org website and get more information and even register online.
And I want to say, too, we have had some great vacations because of the amazing silent auction items they
right.
have there. We've been up to Montana a couple of times to a really nice dude ranch, and we've had taken other trips because of that silent auction. So they do a whole wonderful job in every part of that meeting.
Well, and even the regular auction is really amazing. They get one of the best auction guys come that also does it. And the amount of, again, the support that the local agricultural and business community provides to CoLab through this one dinner, they're our advocacy group. Mike Brown is always down there at the County Board of Supervisors. He's our watchdog. And so if you have an interest in this, it's a really great event, because here's the deal about the Cattlemen's Association and CoLab. This refers back to what Alex de Tocqueville referred to in his book called Democracy in America. And this, of course, goes back into the 1800s. He was a sociologist from France. He came to study the United States. And what he marveled at was the power of voluntary associations that Americans were so good at creating. And so, again, these two organizations are really terrific. So let me jump into real quickly. We've done a bunch of research on these fire hazard security zones. And this is a really interesting topic. It's a lot bigger than just the fire maps that the Office of the Fire Marshal, the California Office of the Fire Marshal, puts together. It's a multifaceted problem in our state. The first thing I want to let you know is I did speak to this morning, actually, Scott Witt, who's the Deputy Chief of Pre-Fire Planning. He's based up in Sacramento and in San Jose. He gave me a whole lot of information on this, and what we're going to be doing next week's show is going to be devoted almost exclusively to talking about the fire insurance issues that we're having in California. But one of the things that I learned from Scott is that these fire zone maps are really 30 to 50-year rear-view mirror studies of the landscape. And it's really a very high-level view. It's macro as opposed to micro. The other thing that I learned is that their focus is evaluating the hazard. In other words, the likelihood versus the risk of something being damaged or destroyed. Interestingly, when it comes to the insurance piece of this, most of the insurance companies have their own models. So they're going off. And one of the things Scott said was they all think that they're expert at this too.
And so how does he distinguish the difference between the likelihood and the risk? To me, those seem like the same thing almost.
Again, there's a lot that goes into the risk that's different because, you know, you could be hardening your property, you could be clearing your property. So it's whether it's likely that a fire is going to happen versus whether or not you've done as much as you can to secure your property.
Okay.
In a fire smart manner.
So the likelihood is the macro, like you live
Correct.
Next to a forest and there's
Correct.
A lot of underbrush in there, so that's a high likelihood.
Correct.
But if you have cleared it out, then you have reduced the risk.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Absolutely. As to the question of whether our homeless population who are starting fires in the river are having a huge impact on these severity zones, what he did indicate to me was he says there's a lot of communities that have this issue. People living in riverbeds like that. He said it may have some minor impact on the actual likelihood, but again, it's over such a long period of time that this is kind of what you'd call a longitudinal study, really, a long-term study. So that was another issue that came up that was interesting, not issue so much, but an interesting conversation that we had. There's a whole lot of different organizations, state and volunteer organizations that are involved in this and in the specific fire hazard areas, such as the Board of Forestry. There's all kinds of regulatory oversight. There's also a number of, and also air quality control. So, because again, the notion of whether something's burning. Is it better to have a burn pile in your backyard versus having a conflagration because you're not getting rid of the brush on your property? So
right.
It's a very, very complex matter.
And I think Anthony talked about that last week.
Correct.
Because if you have small fires spread out throughout the year, the atmosphere can absorb that smoke.
Correct.
But if you have 100,000 acres burning at once, it can't.
Yep.
So that's when you have real air pollution and all that.
Absolutely. So again, we're going to be, you know, talking more with Scott. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to you all is that there's actually something that the Cal Fire puts out, frequently asked questions about the 2022 fire hazard severity zones. And if you want to send me an email at info@blazeandbear.com, I'll be happy to share this with you. The other people that are involved in this whole in this whole thing is the insurance industry and the insurance department. This is the availability of homeowners insurance is somewhat tied to this, but there's other matters involved in this property casualty marketplace. And so, like I said, next week, Dave Belmont from the Adler Belmont Insurance Group is going to be on our show to talk about what's going on in that aspect of things. I can tell you he provided me with some information from the independent insurance agents and brokers who are lobbying heavily to try to get insurance companies and the departments of insurance to work more closely together for availability of coverage. And having done that on the health insurance side, both of Susan and I, it's an arduous process. And I think a lot of this is being driven, the lack of availability has to do with this Prop 103 that was passed many years ago. So
it is critical to work together.
We've also contacted Debbie Arnold. I've spoken to Debbie Arnold. She chairs the Fire Safe Committee, and she said she'd be as helpful as she can. And I hear the bumper music, so we will be back in about 2 minutes. Stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Two of the four Americans kidnapped in northern Mexico last week are dead, another injured.
Family members do say that the group was headed into Mexico for a medical procedure, but shortly after crossing the border from Brownsville, Texas, into Matamoros, Mexico, they were violently kidnapped. Authorities say they believe this may have been a case of mistaken identity, and the Americans were wrongfully targeted.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, Mexican officials say at least one person is in custody. The head of the Federal Reserve says the central bank will be more aggressive in its fight against inflation if required.
Interest rates could be going up again by more than a modest 0.25 percentage point. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the softening trends of the economy appear to have partly reversed in hiring, spending, factory production, and inflation.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
We're kind of a small electronics store. We try to focus on a lot of the hobbyist areas.
There are three Coast Electronics Radio Shack stores in the county. One in Morro Bay, one in San Luis Obispo, and one in Paso Robles. Here's Chris from the Paso Robles store.
So we started to get more Arduino stuff in to hopefully support some robotics engineering with the local high schools. And we try to keep in some resistors, transistors, diodes, little components like that to help the hobbyists in the area, because it's really hard to find that stuff elsewhere. We carry TVs, we have Roku boxes, we carry some Ring cameras, phone protectors and cases, phone cables.
Thank you, Chris, from the Coastal Electronics Radio Shack store in Paso Robles. Remember, they can mount that TV on your wall or even repair your vintage stereo.
Shop local, shop Coast Electronics, your Radio Shack dealer in Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and Morro Bay, where the knowledgeable staff and team of technicians are ready to serve you, all with a smile.
Blaze and Bear, back with Protecting What Matters. The KPRL call-in line is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So our next topics, probably next couple of topics, are going to be maybe a little bit more controversial than talking about what's going on with the fire and the insurance situation. But and with that in mind, what I would like to do is we'd like to preface these comments by letting you know that today's discussion is not political. It's a cultural conversation. And as Andrew Breitbart famously said, politics is downstream from culture. And our culture changed in this country before the politics changed. And now we're in a battle to change the culture back. And even though, you know, we look and see a lot of these topics that we're talking about, they're very distressing. You know, a day doesn't go by, obviously, where we're not looking for content for this show. And it gets pretty depressing sometimes to read some of these articles, wouldn't you say, Susan?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to take breaks now and then.
Yeah. But, you know, our premise is this. Our rights are God-given. The only way we can lose them is by voluntarily allowing someone to take them away from us. And Bongino was talking about this earlier this week. When you look at the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and really all totalitarian revolutions, they were perpetrated by a very small group, again, generally against the middle class, the bourgeoisie.
Right.
And doesn't that feel like that now, Susan?
It does. Well, because those people, the elites of whatever generation, always want to be in total control. And they kind of like, it appears, they like to have almost a slave class or a really poor class way below them. They don't like us in the middle class being so uppity that we think we can travel wherever we want, eat whatever we want, drive wherever we want. They seem to feel threatened by that, and it's the first thing they attack.
Yep. And really, these types of revolutions are typified by balkanizing people, by separating and alienating people from each other. And so I think that's one of the things that we have to fight against for our own nature, that, okay, you know, here's the deal. It says on the back of every one of our dollars that aren't worth dollars anymore, but it does say on the back, e pluribus unum, out of many one. And we have to get our country back to that, that concept, as opposed to this separation.
What I say sometimes, and this might be really controversial, but I don't know why it should be, is when people start talking about, not to say there are not racial issues. I mean, I'm a white person. I don't know what it could be like to be raised or born in a different race. However, to me, there's only the human race, and that we're all humans and we have the same wants and desires. And if we think about that and try to bridge the gaps that do exist by that, you know, instead of thinking we're all different species here, we're not. We're one human race, and we need to work together.
Absolutely. So here's, as you could probably tell, I like metaphors. Well, the biblical four horsemen of the apocalypse, according to Britannica Online, were the Antichrist, are the Antichrist, war, famine, and death. Today, we have four horsemen of our current cultural apocalypse. We have what's called critical theory, which includes critical race theory. I just heard something on, as I was driving to the studio today, I heard Bongino play something about some guy in California who's all about reparations. Okay, that's all part of the same CRT family. Then, of course, there's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And again, I'd love to hear from somebody who's suffered through one of those seminars, because it would be eye opening to many people who haven't. Then there's climate religion, and then of course fear of death, which is our most recent COVID-19 pandemic, which was serious, of course, but much more. Was made to appear much more serious than it probably had to be.
And that's some of those Twitter files, and we might be touching on that later.
Yes.
You can actually see now the text between people saying, how can we rev up this fear? What can we do? When's the next variant coming out? And how can we pump up the fear even more? So these people were doing it on purpose.
Right.
It wasn't an accident.
And you know, what the article you're referring to, Susan, is we're paying for this. We are literally, they're using our tax dollars to scare the bejeebers out of us so that they can control us. So just real quickly, critical theory is a Marxist-inspired movement in social and political philosophy originally associated with the work of the Frankfurt School. It draws particularly on the thought of Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. Now, what could go wrong with those two guys, huh?
Right.
Putting their thoughts together. That's a scary deal. Critical theorists maintain that a primary goal of their philosophy is to understand and to help overcome the social structures through which people are dominated and oppressed. So it's all about domination and oppression and breaking us up.
But, of course, that very idea of breaking people up, causing more division where there wasn't one before, only makes more people dominated and oppressed. So it's kind of like the snake
feeds
that eats its own tail.
It feeds on itself. Yeah.
It only creates more of the same, as opposed to thinking about how can we bring people together and build bridges between people that are different. It goes the other way.
Right. So all of these orthodoxies that are being perpetrated on us, critical theory, critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, climate, religion, all of them are really opposed to our God-given rights that were articulated in the Declaration of Independence. And what's happening is, and what I think is most disturbing to many people, and we'd like to hear about from you on this too, if we as an individual are not willing to submit or be cowed into submission, we're now canceled, we're deplatformed, we could be forced out of business and become estranged from our friends and families. And this has happened to us in certain ways. I mean, we've had people who, you know.
Right. Someone who I follow is called Jeff Prather, P-R-A-T-H-E-R. He's a very interesting guy. He's an ex-DEA agent. So he has like a military background. He runs a dojo and he's a Christian pastor. So he has all these different angles. But what he always says is, freedom is not given, it's taken. So take it. We cannot expect someone to give us our freedom. We must wrest it out of their hands forcefully if necessary, because that's just the point. We have to stand for our own freedom and take it back from anyone who's trying to steal it from us.
Amen. Amen to that. So let's start with climate religion. Susan, talk to us about what's going on with whales on the East Coast. How is it that they're mysteriously dying?
This is really upsetting to me because people probably know I'm a real animal lover. And I've looked at some updates about this. You've probably heard over the past couple of months that there's been a number of large whales found along especially the New Jersey and the New York coast over the past few months. There's been 25 just since December 1st, which is a huge amount, because there's been 186 dead whales found on the entire East Coast from Maine to Florida since 2016, but 25 of them have happened in just the last 90 days, which is a real high incidence. And the biggest thing that has changed is that they are trying to build offshore wind farms right off the coast there. And to do it, they do some noise. They bang sonar down into the ground to try to get the shape of the landscape so they know how to build those towers and so forth. And they bore into the soil and construct turbines, all of which can pose a huge threat to whales because their hearing is so sensitive. And as you know, they talk to each other across hundreds of miles underwater. And they're thinking that some of this whale death can be caused by all this disruption. So it's so bad that there's now 12 mayors of cities in New Jersey have called for a moratorium on all of this exploration with the wind farms until they know for sure whether it causes these whale deaths or not. Of course, all the letter organizations, NOAA and so on, say, oh, no, it doesn't hurt the whales. But they're doing their own independent research to find out for sure, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. So along these same lines, there was a series of articles from Issues and Insights, or Insights and Issues. It's really great articles, actually. They do a lot of good stuff. And what they talked about, the title of the article, It's Time to Admit It, EVs, electric vehicles, are evil. And they go through this whole article talking about how mining rust-colored bauxite is being clawed from a mine that has long faced alleged pollution. This is going on, I believe, in Brazil. And this is from Bloomberg, found that the aluminum Ford is using, they call it eco-friendly, but it's tearing up this bauxite to create aluminum. And really, Bloomberg says, for consumers seeking to lower their carbon footprints, the environmental and social costs of vehicles may be greater than they realize, Well, here are some of the things, and I think you have this article, Susan.
I do.
Why don't you go ahead and point, you know, go through this list of horribles.
Yes. Really. So some of the issues are that the amount of raw materials and minerals that it takes just to make one battery is astounding. One battery for an electric vehicle takes 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, and 200 pounds of copper, and 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic. Now, to get that amount of these different minerals, they have to do basically strip mining, and they have to dig up 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for just one battery, which is horrific. And they're causing all kinds of water pollution and all kinds of problems for the people who live in those areas where they're doing the mining. And so this doesn't seem to make sense. And I just happened to see in the past week a video of someone who actually went to one of the cobalt mines that was in the Congo, I believe. And all the contracts that these companies sign, Tesla or whoever it may be, to buy these batteries, the contract says there will be no humans employed in this mine. They're supposed to be using robotics or something. But he had the video of 15,000 people down in this sweltering mine carrying big bags of rocks on their heads. This is not what we should be doing.
And many of these people are actually, they're slaves to these companies and to these countries.
Right. I mean, they're not owned like the slavery that we're used to hearing about. However, the working conditions are so horrible and the pay is so horrible that they might as well be.
Right.
You know, they're struggling to survive with these terrible working conditions.
Well, and here's another thing from a University of Michigan study found that EVs can emit more CO2 than conventional cars. It said, depending on the fuel used by power plants in a given area, an EV can produce as much CO2 as a gas-powered car that gets just 29 miles per gallon. After the break, we're going to tell you who's profiting from all this, specifically. So stand by. See you in a couple.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing sharply lower after comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell suggested that interest rates may need to go higher for longer, fueling fears of a potentially larger rate hike at the central bank's next policy meeting. All 11 of the S&P 500 sectors ending in the red today, with real estate and financials the biggest losers. However, airlines shaking off the sell-off today, with shares of Delta, American, and United taking off in a down market. However, JetBlue stock fell following news that the Justice Department is suing to block its merger with Spirit Airlines, saying the deal would reduce competition and lead to higher fares for tens of millions of travelers. The only Dow winner today, Merck. The biggest Dow losers, Goldman Sachs, United Health Group, and Caterpillar. The Dow closing down 575 points, the Nasdaq down 145, S&P 500 down 62. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
It's Jesse Kelly here. I can't afford to lose 30% of my 401k or IRA again, and I'm assuming you can't either. Call Oxford Gold. Securing your IRA or 401k with real gold and silver is a portfolio protection plan, and Oxford Gold has made it easy as 1, 2, 3. One app, one call, and you pick your precious metals. That's it. You now own precious metals. Call Oxford Gold today to learn more about the 1, 2, 3 protection plan. 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Nick Madera, CPA in Atascadero. What is the ERC, the Employee Retention Credit?
My kind of take on it, in layman's terms, it's a thank you to business owners for keeping their employees on payroll during the pandemic. basically you're reclaiming payroll expenses for those employees you kept on during the pandemic, but there's rules you got to play by. There's two ways to qualify. One of them is you were directly affected by a government shutdown. So restaurants, retail, had to close their doors, automatic qualifier. The other way is you had to have a 50% drop in gross revenue comparative from like 2020 through 2019, the same quarter, and then from 2021 between 2020 and 2019. So there's various ways you can calculate it to see if you meet that 50% threshold. That's how a lot of companies are doing this thing. So it's all based on payroll.
Make sure your business takes advantage of every deduction available. For more information on the employee retention credit, the person to talk to is Nick Medeiros, CPA in Atascadero. Call 805-466-7249.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Susan Blaze and Barry Fisher here as we round the corner on the show. We want to thank you for being here. The call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-5775. So let's just wrap this up here. The answer to the question is, from the Washington Free Beacon, President Joe Biden's taxpayer-funded push to build a clean energy economy is benefiting the left's most prominent billionaire mega donors, including Bill Gates and Lorene Powell Jobes. That's Steve Jobs' wife, widow. Okay, the Energy Department has, in the last 2 months, announced nearly $3 billion in loans to two electric battery companies, Redwood Materials and Ioneer, which are backed by seed funding from Gates and Jobs and other left-wing billionaires. Now those billionaires who have poured millions into the effort to win Democrat power in Washington are likely set to see a handsome profit from their initial investment. Ioneer, for example, won a $700 million loan from Biden and saw its stock price increase by 33%. I'll just close this out by mentioning to you, think Solyndra. Okay. Think Fisker. When was the last time you saw a Fisker car? Well, you didn't, because they got taxpayer funded money in the last administration, in the Obama administration, and never really got anything on the road. But there is good news after all of this. According to an article that popped up from the UK Spectator, even the Greens in Europe now are starting to see that their effort, the battle for the world's environment survival is at this moment is lost. So they're starting to see that they're getting pushback and that their efforts are not getting them anywhere. So, environmentalism in terms of an economic perspective, and I'll just read this to you and I want to hear your comments on this. The article says, in terms of economics, environmentalism is a more radical ideology than classical Marxism. Whereas Marxism was about changing the ownership of the means of production, environmentalism aims to change the means of production itself.
Right. And I guess, I know I've beat the drum on this before. Part that really irritates me. Oh, we have a call. Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Hey, thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Barry.
Hi.
Is this somebody we know? Is this somebody we know? No. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you met me the other night.
I know. I'm a guy
that's 5'18".
I know Greg. How you doing?
I'm good.
Now we recognize your voice now, you see. So go ahead. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, as a fireman, I can tell you how dangerous it is to rescue somebody out of a car that's got electricity in it when it's all crushed up and you're trying to get somebody out. You had so many good topics. I mean, these environmentalists, I don't care where you start. If you start from managing our forests and woodlands, because to me they're all tied together. They want more housing, but they don't have the timber to do it. If they had the timber to do it, we wouldn't have the fires. If you graze those areas and cut those areas like we used to, we had fire breaks, we got rid of disease and other problems in the woodlands, it cleaned up the watershed. And if they would build more storage, we'd have more water, we'd have more clean energy from hydroelectric.
Right. Didn't I hear that Santa Margarita Lake is overflowing and the water is just running off? Isn't that what's happening right now?
Yeah, so I kind of like the fact that it's running over and the Salinas River is running. Let's just say right now maybe it's running not as good as it used to, but it was, because a lot of the water for 75 years was redirected to another watershed down to South County to San Luis Obispo because of the Army Corps of Engineers.
Hmm.
That damaged the recharge of the Paso Basin.
You know what I
think? And so they don't want to look at that, because then they have to answer the question, well, what do we do to change that? Well, to change that, you take less water, because according to the water code, you're not supposed to damage another watershed by taking water away from it.
Hmm. Greg, listen to this idea.
You have the same thing you were talking about, who's benefiting, in these automobile things or these battery-type things that are damaging the earth way more than what we do with fossil fuels that are natural. The people who wanted to take over the water, and who was benefiting from that by who they got elected and how they wanted to decide who was going to be the winners and losers on water use.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing is this whole environmental issue. All of us care about the environment. But what I see is the colossal arrogance of people that are basically bureaucrats or politicians or people who want to profit from everybody else's work, take away the responsibility from the people who are closest to the land. I mean, just what we've learned about the ranchers and farmers and fishermen, these are people who make their living from the natural resources. There's nobody on the planet that wants to preserve them more than they do. Yet when you take this away, and now people who don't even know what they're talking about tell you how to run your property, we're taking the knowledge and the actual love for the land and trying to pull that away and have people who don't care in the same way that you do make all the decisions.
Well, we need to get away from this environmentalism religion, this climate religion, and get back to conservation, being conservationists.
And common sense.
And common sense conservationists.
You're both 100% correct. If somebody who lives on the land that wants to protect the land and pass it on to their heirs or have their kids follow in their footsteps because they grew up in a thing, they understand what to respect and what to take care of. And, you know, people that ranch, their animals are their family.
Yeah.
Even though they raise them to sell them and do different things, they take care of them. They take care of them, whether it's whatever they got to do medically or vaccination-wise. You know, people get upset, let's say, at rodeos. Those are cowboys that are showing how to doctor animals and how to do different things from what actually happens, and they turned it into a competition. They didn't do it to hurt animals. They make the animal better. And if you couldn't raise them and we didn't need them, would they be here?
Nope, not at all.
We used to have 60 to 70 million American bison running across our country, digging it up, fertilizing it, and we had natural feed growing everywhere. And we didn't have a methane problem. Today we have 90 million beef cattle, and we eat half of them. And 60% of that animal goes to food products, and the other 40% goes for medical stuff, from just anything that you can imagine is made out of what's left over, whether it's something for your body or lipstick or antifreeze or jet fuel. There's so much stuff. It's just unbelievable. But people don't understand or look into that we've learned how to use something the best that it can use. And those are the people that raise it. They want to take care of it. They don't want it to get hurt.
Yep.
That's right.
Greg, thanks for your call. We really appreciate your input.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
Bye-bye.
So anyway, so let's get back to our next topic here, and we're going to run through this pretty quick, but we do appreciate Greg's call because he's got some great insights. But you know, I'm going to refer you to a Victor Davis Hanson article that appeared, I believe it was yesterday, called The Woke Wrecking Machine. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I have to say what he I want, because I want Susan's comments on this, because we're going to be moving into this DEI conversation. He says that wokeism has destroyed meritocracy in favor of forced equality of results. This is history's prescription for civilizational decline. That was a tough one. If we continue with woke hiring of administration, air traffic controllers, ground crews, pilots, and rail workers, there will be even more news of disasters and near-miss airline crashes. And Susan's got a story on
that.
Well,
it's just like Atlas Shrugged, right? It's right. Like if you put the wrong people, or if you put people in a death-defying role, like a pilot. I just read a story in the last week or so about an Amazon pilot who was flying one of their cargo planes. He happened to be a black gentleman, and he was hired probably because of that, because even his flight instructors had advised Amazon not to hire him, because in training school, if there would be a problem with the plane, he would get all nervous and start pushing a bunch of buttons, which is, of course, a deadly thing to do on a plane.
No kidding.
And he did it on the Amazon cargo plane, and it did a nosedive right into a body of water, killing himself and two other people. So yep. That's not a good reason to hire someone to fly a plane.
Nope. So listen, we'll be back with more on this after the break. Thanks for being with us.
I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeak Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeak Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeak Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife. Happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeak Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeak specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeak Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeakpainting.com. That's SPEEKpainting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner-broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 2 years running. We offer conventional, FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages. We also have 0% down purchase loans. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? Because I have a great new option for you. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find the right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. Support your local businesses and come see us at Colony Mortgage, 5365 El Camino Real, Atascadero. Call us at 805-466-3598.
And MLS number 255-404.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Blazin' Bear here. Call-in number is 805-238-5775. So as we wrap up the show today, we want to start pointing out some good things on the cultural front. That's kind of, it's a start. I mean, but again, this is why we have to keep pressing at it, because these leftists, these Marxists from the Frankfurt School have been in our institutions now since the 1930s. After they got kicked out of Germany, they all came to Columbia University. And names like Herbert Marcuse and a whole lot of leftists have been infiltrated in our society, and our colleges and universities.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And government.
Operation Paperclip, we were importing them from Nazi Germany.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes on and on, right.
But the good news is, even center-left people... with a megaphone, are starting to notice that we've probably been lied to a lot here by a lot of people, especially about the COVID situation. Bill Maher, he defended his lab leak theory, which that it came from the Wuhan lab. Again, he got canceled by his own leftist cohort that are his listeners. I don't listen to Bill Maher, I mean, to speak of, except for a clip when I see something on one of the clipping services. Another story that popped up the next day was that Bill Maher, he quizzed Bernie Sanders on woke equity language. And you know what? Bernie, now again, I know he's got his five houses he has to take care of, and he's getting up there, all right? But bottom line is, Bernie could not define the difference between equity and equality. Okay, thank God Bill Maher didn't ask him what a woman, to define a woman.
Right.
No comment on that one,
no,
Susan?
No comment on that.
Okay, so shockingly, Bernie Sanders, you know, whenever they get asked these questions directly and they know they can't answer them honestly, they play dumb. And this has happened, this has been happening all over our society. The one last thing we wanted to mention on this topic, and a couple more things. First of all, there is a great article. Matt Tabibi, was one of the journalists that has been analyzing the Twitter files. A couple of days ago, he wrote a quick article about his latest information dump, I guess you'd call it, about an organization called the Global Engagement Center. This was established under the Barack Obama administration by Executive Order 13-271. However, what this started, so this happened back in 2015, this started the process of shifting the national security establishment's focus from counterterrorism to disinformation. So again, they're using our tax dollars, okay, to lie to us. And
right.
and really
accuse us of disinformation.
Right. And really it's what they're trying to do is get us to act in certain ways that we wouldn't normally act. It's called the nudge process. You nudge people by scaring them. So one more good news story on a couple more good news stories on this. NBC Digital, February 27th, diversity roles, in other words, jobs within big businesses, are disappearing after 3 years after George Floyd's murder. The key takeaways to this article, so again, this is not Fox News, this is NBC News Digital. The attrition rates for DEI roles, diversity, equity, and inclusion roles, have outpaced those of non-DEI roles at more than 600 U.S. companies that laid off workers since late 2020. And this has accelerated quickly in the last 6 months. These companies exclude some of the wokest, okay? Amazon, Apple, and Twitter. They have led the way in closing down their DEI operations. The shift from DEI to environmental, you know, they're shifting their messaging, though. So what happens is when the left doesn't succeed, they shift the message. So now they're shifting it to the ESG message, which is environmental, social, and governance strategy.
Which is worse, actually.
Which is worse. It's a globalist. It's all globalist stuff. But again, it's how a company's practices impact the environment, the social consequences, and so on and so forth. Fortunately, there's a lot of pushback, which we haven't had a time to cover yet, on the ESG front, because a lot of companies, a lot of investment groups are turning away from that because the ESG investors like BlackRock, they didn't do very well the last few years. And a lot of the states like DeSantis and a lot of the state pension funds are saying, no, you've got to invest in things that are going to make people money.
I'd like to say some more about the diversity, equity, inclusion. We're not saying at all that we don't value diversity. What I think, having been in the corporate world for 25 years, the problem with this DEI role as it was designed is it usually reports to human resources. And some of the areas in the big companies, like human resources, accounting, finance, what are called staff roles, because their customers are actually the internal employees of the company. They're not the external customers, as opposed to someone who's like in sales. That's a line role because they serve the external customer. When there's financial problems in a company, those staff roles are the first ones to go. So my thing is get as many people from the various different races, get diversity in the line jobs, the sales, the marketing, the operations, production, get them in those jobs, not in DEI, which is basically a function of human resources.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And really, again, the bottom line is our big companies have got to get away from social engineering.
Right.
And go back to business.
Just do your job.
Just do your jobs. You know, we've got plenty of laws in this country to protect folks from discrimination. One more thing I wanted to mention to you. We mentioned it in the last show. There's a great website called the 1792 Exchange. And this is, again, more pushback on, you know, all of this wokeism. This organization has rated some of the big companies, about 500 or 600 companies, on how they do as far as not really discriminating against people with DEI and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, next week, we're going to spend more time on the fire insurance issue. I am going to be reporting from Denver, Colorado, from the Intercompany Long-Term Care Insurance Conference. There's a lot going on in the long-term care insurance world. Remember, Blazon Bear Insurance Services is here to help you protect what matters most with the strategic use of life, disability, long-term care insurance, fixed annuities, and business valuation. Contact us today.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry at blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's